Amen. I'm happy to be here. I'm so surprised. There are so many people who praise God. So that means you are growing. You know, everything God made grows. Amen. You're not saying amen. Amen. I'm growing. And you are growing. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for another opportunity to worship you and glorify your name. And we thank you for the wonderful things you have been doing amongst our brethren, even in gathering us together in this beautiful place. For the purpose of you are breaking the bread of life to us. We thank you for the great things you have done in the life of each and every one of us. And as we come to your dining table, we pray you'll anoint your word. And we pray you'll anoint our hearts, anoint our ears, anoint every aspect of our soul, anoint our mind, anoint the inward part of us, that we might be a worthy bride for you. And we thank you for the urgency of the time in raising up a people. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we are going to study something very basic. We are going to study something very basic. And we are going to study the tabernacle. It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. The tabernacle of Moses. I don't know. Uncle Sam, can you say it? Okay. So the Bible tells us that there are three sections in the tabernacle. And the reason why we want to study the tabernacle is so that we will learn, how to walk in the Spirit. It's okay, we'll manage it, don't worry. We will know how to walk in the Spirit and how to please God and how to overcome sin and how to overcome darkness and be victorious Christians. So, the tabernacle of Moses has three parts. You have a court or a reception. You have a court or a reception.
I don't bring my bag. It's like I have something sharper in my room.
The first part is the is what we call the outer court. The second part is called the holy place. You want to write it?
Yeah. Well, if you can also close the
Bible. I write it. Fine. No problem. Fine. Okay. When I finish, then you will write. And then you have the most holy place. The most holy place. Interpret.
Alors, tozali na.
Okay, is that one sharper? Okay.
Alors, tozana biteni biteni misatu. Yali boso. Ezali awa po babengi parvi.
The people at the back. Uh-huh. Make it bolder.
Small.
Yes.
C'est trop petit.
Make it bolder. Or you can write it.
Okay. I write aside. Then
yes.
I tell them it's
okay. Yes. You can write on that side.
Okay. Fine.
You can say.
Okay. Tous en a parti à Liboso.
Go on. Right. Right.
Ici qu'à Onyoso, tu bengi yango. Parvi.
Okay. Then.
Alors, tozana esika ya mibale babengi lieu saint.
And then the most holy place.
Et puis, tozana esika ya misatu babengi lieu très saint.
Okay. The outer court is like your body.
Alors, parvi, autre baby parvi awa. Yangonde ezali. Nzoto nayo, to baby la français corps.
And then the holy place is like the soul. It's like the soul.
Faith. Esika oyo. Yes, Mirala, Esika ya Kule, Ezalo Kola.
And then yes, the spirit is like the most holy place is like the spirit. Thank you. Okay. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, God said, let us make man in our own image. So, every one of us here is made in the image of God. So, we look like God in our makeup. God has three parts, and Baraka has three parts.
Baraka prayers are written in Misa.
Okay, we all can see the body of Baraka. Baraka has a mind.
Baraka has a mechanism.
Is that correct?
Yes, is that so?
How many people here have a mind? You have a mind. If you have a mind, raise your hand. When did you see your mind last? When did you see your mind? How does your... What color is your mind? Hey, Celeste, what color is your mind? But you know you have a mind. Okay, how many people here have a spirit? You have a spirit. What is the shape of your spirit? Have you seen your spirit before? But you know it's there. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Assalam. Praise the Lord. It should be vibrant. So you see, every human being has three parts. And God also has three parts. Okay, how do we know that? How do we know that there are three parts to God? Okay. Let's read 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5.
1 John chapter 5.
Chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Yes, you read. Seven or eight, read if you see it.
Okay,
he says there are three natures or three ways in which God has shown himself to us. God the Father, God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. So how many gods do we have? Who knows? The children? Who wants to tell us? How many gods do we have? How many gods do we have? But this one says that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Okay, so God has manifested to us in three natures. But the three of them are one. Celeste has not seen his mind. He doesn't know the shape of his spirit. But as he's sitting down on the chair, I'm only seeing one person here. So you have a body, you have a soul, you have a spirit. And the three of them are one.
Amen.
Amen. That's how God is. So we are created in the image of God. We are like God. Amen. So God has three natures. And the three natures are one. And you have three natures. I have three natures. And the three of them are one. Amen. Because God is teaching us a lesson. And that lesson is that God is one. Is that God is one. And in the scripture, Jesus said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God." So that is why God has given us one big example. And that example is God's mathematics. Yes, God's arithmetic. And that arithmetic is 1 plus 1 equal to 1. Is that correct? 1 plus 1 equal to 1. And we have seen 1 plus 1 plus 1 equal to 1. So, when you go to the tabernacle, everything you need to know about the Bible is there. Everything you need to know about God is there in the tabernacle. And the first message of the Bible to us is that God is one. Everybody that is in God must be one. Everybody that is in God must be one with God. So the Bible says the husband and the wife, 1 plus 1 equal to 1. The husband and the wife will be one. Because that is the nature of God. Amen. So if you are, when you become a Christian, God wants you to be like Him. And being like God means walking in the nature of God. And that nature of God is being one. So in the church, the Bible says that we are many members. So if you look at my body, there are many bodies. There are many parts. There are many members. But my body is one. And my body is working in harmony. My hand works, it corresponds with my leg. I don't have a prayer meeting, say, "Oh, okay, please, today, my leg and my hand should work together." How many people had that kind of prayer meeting in the night? You had a prayer meeting in the night. Prayer. Say, "Oh God, today my leg and my hand must work together." Can you raise your hand? You didn't pray that your hand and your leg should work together. As you're walking. So if you are in the body of Christ, you will walk with other members of the body of Christ. Do you know why? Because it's one spirit. Amen. So even though we are different, this one is from Central Africa. Central Africa. This one is Salon. This one is Salon. This one is Nigeria. No, I won. Amen. So you don't need to struggle because it's the same spirit that is walking through all. Amen. So when you are finding it difficult to walk with other people in the body, it means that there is a block in your life. It means that there is something that is preventing the Spirit of God from flowing through you. Amen. Because in the body works together, it just flows. Amen. When there is a problem in your leg, in my leg, every part of my body knows. Because I'm part of the body. You don't need to have prayer meeting to let everybody know what the problem is in my leg. So let us send news. Please, there is something that's scratching my body here, please. You have to send news to the eye to know that something is happening to your leg. If my eye is part of the body, immediately something happens to my leg, my eye will be aware of it, and it will begin to respond. Amen. It will begin to respond. So that is how the body is supposed to be. And the reason for that is that there is a control for the body. The control is in the head. And that head is Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And the example of that is the example of the husband and the wife. The husband and the wife should not be struggling. The husband has his own plan. The wife has her own plan. It means that there is a problem. There is no flow. Because if the husband and the wife are under one head, which is Christ, what Christ says to the head, says to the wife, the husband will also hear it at the same time. If the husband is under Christ and the wife is under Christ, what God says to the husband, the wife will also hear it. The example of that is the telephone. I'm looking for a telephone. Can I have one? Yes. What is this?
Telephone.
If I switch it off, Abraona sends me a text message. What happens to the text message? When I put the phone on, what happens to the text message? Where was the text message? When the phone was switched off, where was the text message? Huh? Is it the system? Where is the system? Where is the system? In the air. Where is the air? The phone is like your mind. The phone is like your mind. They are using, they are studying the mind and they are using it to make the phone. Okay, there's what, something they call cloud computing. Cloud computing, cloud. They say there's something in the cloud. Cloud. Cloud computation. Cloud computer, computer. Cloud computing. It is also using the principle of the mind. If the husband and the wife are in the cloud, and that cloud is Christ, you are on the same frequency, you are under the same spirit. When God says something to the husband, the wife will hear. If she switched off, if for one reason or the other she switched off, maybe she was annoyed with the husband, or the husband was annoyed with her, and you know, and they are not working together. Whenever they start working together, the text message will be coming in. You'll be hearing noise. You say, honey, honey, this is what God says. He said, yes, God told me yesterday. Is it not so? He said, oh, that is it. God said we should say yes. God said it last year. Amen. Hallelujah. So you don't need to struggle, because you are being like God. Amen. Okay, how about the fellowship? How about in the fellowship? Somebody says we should arrange this hall. The chair should be like this. Did you have that problem? Somebody said, no, let's arrange it like this. Somebody said, no, if you do that, there'll be too much space here. So how do you know what God is saying? Be like God. Be like God. Amen. When you are like God, you will know what God wants you to say. Because there will be a witness in your heart that this is what God has said. And the Bible says, by the word of two or three witnesses, every word of God will be confirmed. When God says something, He will always say it again and confirm it. Jesus said, what I say to you, I say to all. Amen. So what I say secretly will be announced on the rooftop. Amen. So if God wants you to go somewhere, somehow, there will be many people in the body who will hear it. So if God leads the fellowship in a particular way, there'll be a witness. That's why we should come together for fellowship. Because when we come together, the Bible says somebody has a psalm. Somebody has a scripture to read. Somebody has a testimony to share. Somebody has a doctrine to teach. Somebody has a dream. Somebody has a revelation. When you put it all together, you will see very clearly where God is leading you to. Amen. So that is fellowship. Fellowship is when you come together. Everybody has something. You have something to share. Amen. So, what we have had in the past is that we have a church mentality. Okay, some people, you know, the food this afternoon was very, very nice. How many people enjoyed the food this afternoon? You know, when you enjoy the food, there is a result. The result is... So, those who are sleeping around you, touch them so that they can wake up. So praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, good. So we should wake up. Amen. You can stand up if you feel like sleeping. So we're talking about fellowship. Between husband and wife. Between ourselves. Because when you fellowship, you are being like God. Amen. So to agree with other members is being like God. Amen. You know, so the body works together because there is just one spirit and one head. Is there anybody who has two heads here? You have two heads. Number one head says, let's go here. I say, no, let's go the other way. No. There'll be confusion. So the Bible says, we be many, we have one body and one head. So the head of the body is Christ. That means Jesus Christ is in this room. How many people know that? He is here. Because we are two or three are gathered together. I am present in your midst. So if Jesus is here, if Jesus is in our midst, if there's any problem, you go to Jesus. You pray about it, and he will give you a direction, the way to go. Amen. So we are looking at the first lesson of the tabernacle. And that is the number one. And the number one represents God. The Bible is written in a sign language. The Bible is written in a sign language. Jesus told them a story about the parables. And he said he was using the parable to tell them about heavenly things. So it was an illustration. So that we can understand heavenly things from spiritual things. And while still talking about the nature of God, Genesis chapter 1, you know, verse 6, 26, where I read, he said, let us make man in our own image and likeness. The nature of God. What is the nature of God? What is the light of God? The Bible says that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. So God is light. God is light. Amen. Now, when we come to the tabernacle,
alors, tant que dans tabernacle,
the tabernacle is made up of a white fence.
Tabernacle et salami na clôture ya pembe.
It is a white fence.
Et sa clôture ya pembe.
What does the white represent?
Pembe et sa pour la pisani.
Represents light.
Ezali kolakisa bomoi.
It represents righteousness.
Ezali kolakisa justice.
So if you look at the tabernacle from far, the first thing you see is what? Light.
Lumière.
So this is the kingdom of light. This is the kingdom of light. That is the message of the tabernacle. It is the kingdom of light. What is the opposite of light? What is the opposite of light? Darkness. Okay? So give us an example. What is darkness? Who can give us an example of darkness? Yes? Give one example of darkness. Yes? That is not darkness. The bag is black. The bag is black. So, what is darkness? Okay. What is light? You say God is light. So I want one example of light. The day. The day is light. Okay. The night is what? Come. If I do this, is it paining you? It's not paining you. Is it paining you now? So what is it? So is it good? Does he like it? That is darkness. Amen. That is dark. Darkness is not a physical thing. Light is not a physical thing. Amen. Darkness is the opposite of light. And it is a spiritual thing. Amen. So, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, what does it say? Verse 1 and 2, 3. Read it, read it.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3.
Okay. So it says in the beginning there was darkness. So so where is the darkness? The Bible says the whole world light in darkness. Isn't that what Jesus said? The whole world is in darkness. Is that correct? Is that correct? You're not answering me. Jesus said the whole world is what? In darkness. Amen. So you are born in darkness. You walk in darkness. You eat darkness. You produce darkness. Amen. Say amen now. Okay, you don't want to say amen. Well, well, it's me and you today because we're not going anywhere. Amen. Okay, read Colossians chapter 1. Don't worry, you'll enjoy it. Colossians chapter 1. Read from verse 13 to 18.
Colossiens chapitre 1, verset 13, dit la 18. Yéro ya tamola biso na kouya ya mouili, pe akumba biso kati, na kati na bokonji, ya mwana kaye. Na kati na yende, tofi, tobiko ya basumu, pe bolimisi.
Praise the Lord. You can see that.
Domination.
Amen. So, he has called us from where? Darkness into light. And the darkness is not my bag. The darkness is not my bag. Amen. Okay. So, because we have to identify what is the darkness. Then, before we can understand what is the light. Okay. Genesis chapter 12. Let's read Genesis 12.
Genesis chapter 12.
Read verse 1. Just read verse 1.
Sikoyo kolo alobeni ya balama. Bimani banda ya muka na yo. Ya libota na yo. Ya ndaku ya tata na yo. Oke nene sika kolo na kula kisa yo.
Amen. How many people know Abraham?
Kondeta kina
You know Abraham. And you know, we sing the song, Abraham blessings are mine. Do you know that song? Abraham blessings are mine. Abraham blessings are mine. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening. Abraham blessings are mine. Do you know the song? Okay. So the song is saying, the blessings of Abraham, I also have it. Because Abraham is my father. Amen. How did Abraham get his blessing? So Abraham had to do three things. He had to come out from his country. If Abraham was born in Bandundu, that means he would have come out from DRC. Then he will come out from, is it the Ngala? Which tribe is that? Bandundu is what tribe? Which tribe is that?
It's a tribe.
Okay, Bandundu is a tribe.
It's a
what is the tribe of Bandundu?
We have as Mambala.
Mambala, okay. Abraham would have come out from DRC. He will come out from Mambala. And then he will come out from his father's house. Before he can get the blessings God was going to give him. Amen. So, the darkness in the world are in three dimensions. There are three types of darkness in the world. And that's why God told him he must come out from your country. You know, many people like their country. I love Nigeria. Is there anybody who loves DRC? Okay, sorry. Is there anybody who hates DRC? How many people here want to be Americans? Do you like America? Oh, Beijing. You like Beijing? Belgic. Okay. So God said you must, that there is a darkness which is associated with your country. And with my country. There is a darkness that is associated with tribe. And there is a darkness that is associated with what? Family. The family one is called the familiar spirit. You know, there's one man, his name is Abraham. Yeah, Abraham. Abraham had a son. What's his name? Isaac. They asked him, is this your wife? He said, No. She's my sister. They asked his son, is this your wife? He said, No, it's my sister. So Abraham had a problem in his family.
Abraham has a problem in the family.
It's called familiar spirit. Some of us need to overcome the family spirit. Is part of coming out of darkness. There are some families that have gods and idols or a particular spirit that goes with them. It may be anger, it may be bitterness, or it may be that when they get married, they cannot stay in their husband's house, they must go back. It's part of the darkness. Amen. There's another darkness that goes with the tribe. And that kind of darkness, that's where it comes under dot. You know dot? Dot. Tribal spirit.
Spirit tribal.
Dot.
Dot.
Now, every tribe has a spirit that rules over it. If you say it's not true, I will take you. We'll go to Nairobi Airport. Immediately you enter Nairobi Airport, and you go to gate number 8 or so, nobody will tell you that you have met Nigerians. Because the whole place is noise, everybody shouting and laughing. The place is... Because that's where Nigerians are. Nobody needs to tell you that you have now reached Nigeria in Nairobi. Amen. When I land Kinshasa, do you still want to argue with me? Eh? You still want to argue with me? I'll give you more examples. Every tribe has a spirit that goes with it. And that spirit says, everybody in that tribe belongs to me. And sometimes the great-great-grandfathers made a covenant with that spirit. In the old time, most of Africa, there were tribal boundaries. In Africa, there were tribal boundaries. Matabele cannot cross and go to another tribe. Bakongo cannot cross and go to another one. Amen. Sometimes they cannot even marry together. Even in the church now. Say, no, I'm Bakongo, I can't marry. So when you want to marry, you can only marry from your tribe. It's darkness. Amen. And God says, He has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Because the Bible says God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If there is darkness, then it's not God. Amen. If there is darkness, then it's not God. So every ruling spirit rules over the land. And God said that in Israel, say, Israel is my firstborn. So God was ruling over Israel. Every firstborn in Israel belongs to God. Even the firstborn of the cattle, of the goat. Immediately you are the firstborn, you belong to God. God says, okay, if you are the firstborn, you must be redeemed. You must pay me money to redeem the firstborn. You must pay something to me to redeem the firstborn. You find that in Numbers chapter 3. So he says, I will use the Levite as the price. So every Levite will redeem the firstborn in Israel. So they made the census of all the Levites. Made the census of all the firstborn. And there were more firstborn than Levites. There was a problem. So these extra people, what are we going to do to them? God says, there's no problem. Every one of them will pay a price, 50 shekels of silver. And this money will be given to the priest. Amen. That's why I've told you the story. The money is given to who? The priest. When you pay dot, who do you give the money to? Do you give it to anybody? You give it to the priest. To the oldest man in the family. To the elders in the family. Because the firstborn in the family is the priest. Do you understand? So, they tell you, when you are paying dot, you must give it to the priest, the elders in the family. Because it is redemption money. If you are going to marry this girl, you must recognize that I am the owner of the girl. The girl belongs to me. That's to the ruling spirit. The hair belongs to me. So if you want to take her, you must pay money. He said, no, it's not too much money. Humble, small money. You can pay it. If it is more money, why not forget it? Why must you pay? Or they tell you must go and bring a cow. Or you bring a certain number of cows. Because it is a token. It is a recognition that that girl belongs to the clan. They say if you don't do it, somebody will die. Or something bad will happen. I don't want to die. So you must do it. What? Who will kill who? Who is the one that will kill another person? Because there's a spirit involved. And it is the spirit of the clan. Amen. So that is darkness. And God has called you out of darkness. God has called you out of doubt. Do you know why? Somebody has paid the price. Jesus said, you are bought with a price. And that price is the blood of Jesus Christ. So every daughter in Zion has been bought with a price. So when you pay dot, you reject the price Jesus paid. And you open the door for the devil to come in. Amen. Say amen now. You don't agree with me? Say amen. Jesus has set us free from dot. Amen. Hallelujah. So, how should we marry? The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 24 how we should marry. Because Abraham married for his son. Amen. He said, go and marry. You go and marry from my people. My people is not tribe. It is the family of God. The family of God. Amen. So you get married from the family of God. And when you get married, the Bible says that the man gave gifts. They did not give Eliezer a list. There was no list.
Eliezer
did not have a list of what he must bring. They said, eat food. He said, no, I'm not eating food. I have something I want to do. I want to marry. I came to marry this girl for my master. And when the lady had agreed, the Bible says he opened his bag and he brought gifts for the father, for the mother, for the brother, for the sister, for the aunties, for the uncle. Gifts for everybody. Amen. Is it not better than dot? Everybody got a gift. The gift may even include money also. But you gift according to how God has blessed you. Because he who finds a wife has found a good thing. You are happy. So you express your family happiness in the family. Not with grumbling. This family is wicked. Your in-laws, you say they are wicked. Because they told you must do so and so and so and so. In your heart, you're not happy. That is darkness. Amen. So, the Christian marriage is very clean. You do it in the nature of God. You walk in the light. As God is in the light. Amen. There's nobody who will go and take a wife and will not bring a gift. And in most situations, the gift you bring is even more costly than the dot. Amen. So, you as a people, you have to rise against dot. Somebody will tell me, oh, dot is in the law of DRC. Very easy. The church should go to God. God said, don't pay dot. It's God that said, don't pay dot. So you ask God in DRC, how are we going to walk so that we will not pay dot? And God will tell you. And God will tell you. In Nigeria, we went to God. He said, God, we don't want to pay dot. What shall we do? He told us, very simple. If you want to get married in Nigeria, you go to the court. And the two of you say, we want to get married. They will paste a notice on the board for 21 days. If nobody comes to argue, to say, this woman should not get married. They will announce it in the church. And if there is no no disagreement with that. The people will get married in the court. It's called civil marriage. It's called civil marriage. They will sign. When they have done civil marriage, on Sunday, or Saturday, or any day, you come. The people will come to the fellowship. Pray for them. Declare their husband and wife. We are recognizing what the court has already done. We pray for them. And they are married. C'est fini. Simple, finish. Marriage done. Amen. You don't need to wear dress. All those things, dress, rice, beans, all those things are extra. If you give us water, we will drink your marriage water and we will bless God for you. If you give us manioc, we will eat and bless God for you. Anything you give us, we will take and go. If you say, I don't have money, just pray for me. We will pray for you. And you are married. He went to Libreville. The husband and wife brought their child to dedicate. He is here. He asked them, are you born again? Are you married? They are not married, but they have a child. He said, praise the Lord. That means we are doing the marriage now. And I want you young people, don't sleep. Young people, wake them up. Wake them up. Maybe you should stand up. You need to hear it. You got here. If you meet together with a woman, you are married to her. I hope you understand. When a man and a woman meet together without coming to church, you are married. In the culture of DRC, you are enjoying yourself. That's darkness. When you are walking in the light, when a man and woman come together, is marriage. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. That is the tradition of God. We have our own tradition, and that's what God says. Because it's only a man and a woman that are married that can come together. So you have to be very, very careful. Amen. Now, he said we are getting married now. He prayed for them. And blessed the marriage before dedicating the child. There was no invitation card. Did they have rice? There was no rice. Did they have wedding band? Did they have a bridesmaid? Was there any groomsman? Was there any cake? Was there any this one? All these ones, man has added it. Amen. Say amen now. Hallelujah. It's very simple. That is walking in the light. Amen. And he's calling us out of darkness in our nation, in our family, in our tribes. To come out. So if God told Abraham, he's saying the same thing to you and me. We must come out. We must come out. Amen. into the kingdom of God. Amen. White is very different from darkness. You don't miss it. So what God is telling us is very clear. There's no mixture. Somebody says it's very hard. God says it's very easy. Amen. If you give your heart to Jesus, He will touch the heart. And it becomes very easy. It is hard when Jesus has not touched the heart. And I'm going to show it to you very soon. So, if you are here and you're not born again, I just wasting time. Because the load will be so heavy. You say, oh, the thing is so heavy. But when your heart has been touched by Jesus Christ, you will say, His body is light. Amen. Amen. And those of you who are not yet married, you need to declare your stand to your families. You must declare a stand to your family. Me, I'm not going to pay dot. When I'm going to get married. Say, Daddy, nobody will pay dot for me when they want to marry me. If you're a girl. Amen. So they know ahead of time. And then you will not follow them to go and pay dot. Because if you follow them to pay dot, then they will follow you to pay dot in your own. If you follow them to go and pay dot, then when it's your own time, they say to you, we are also coming to pay dot to in your own. So the separation must be very, very clear. So that is the kingdom of light. And Abraham is an example. He came out from his country. He came out from his family. And he came out from his tribe. And God made him a nation. And you and me, we are following Abraham. Abraham was made righteous by faith. That's what Galatians says. Abraham was made righteous by faith. Not by the law. Now, faith is obedience to God. Abraham obeyed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. So you cannot say you are righteous or walking in righteousness and you don't obey God. And when you obey God, man may not be happy with you. Your family may not be happy with you. Your tribe people will not be happy with you. Your friends will not be happy with you. But God will be happy with you. Amen. And they said, it is better for us to obey God than to obey man. So that is the message of the tabernacle. So you see, the tabernacle is complete. The tabernacle is complete. Amen. When are we stopping this session? 30 minutes. Okay, good. Okay, so we have talked about light, the light and darkness. Now, let's talk about something else. The length of this tabernacle was 100 cubits. Was 100. The The length of the tabernacle was 100. And that is the longest dimension in the tabernacle. If you are in God, you'll be growing. And God has a target where you should grow to. So there is a calling for every one of us. And God has called us to be sons of God. So 100 means sonship. How do we know? How do we know 100 means sonship? The Bible says Abraham was 100 years old when he had the son. Abraham was 100. God promised him a son when he was 75 years. And it took him 25 years to get his son. So that means Abraham walked with God. Today, the message they are preaching is the message of anti-God. It's an anti-God. It's a message of pressing button. The message of prosperity. If you want to be rich, you start praying by 12 midnight. You pray by 3 a.m. in the morning. You pray by 6 in the morning. And you have a prayer book. You heal all the witches in your life. All the witches in your family. And you'll be a rich man. Amen. All your enemies will be destroyed. It's not in the Bible. God promised Abraham a son. 25 years. He was still waiting for that son. He walked with God. Whether the son was there or not, he was still walking with God. Today, no, they say, no, you must be a sweatless winner. Was Abraham a sweatless winner? Did Abraham sweat? Yes, he sweated. He had to labor to enter into his promise. Amen. Hallelujah. When God gives you a promise, you must press on. You must walk with God. You must be faithful to God. You must wait upon God. And that promise will come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. So the gospel that I'm preaching today is an anti-Christ gospel. It is a gospel of darkness. It's not the nature of God. In the nature of God, when God gives you a promise, you hold on to the promise. And you walk with God. You seek God. You please God. Whether it is good or bad, you follow God. You don't follow God because of the promise. You follow God because you love Him. Amen. So today, people follow God because they want blessing. And I hope there's nobody here who wants blessing. Blessing has brought you here. Blessing has brought you here. Oh, you might find out you are in the wrong place. You might find out that you are in the wrong place. Amen. Abraham believed God. And Abraham walked with God. And at the right time, the promise came. His son came. Amen. They were laughing at him. It's part of walking with God. He said, your brother, he has had a son. He got married after you. He has already had a child. You, that's you. Every day, tell us, God, promise you, promise you. Where is the, my friend? Go and sit down. So they were laughing at him. It's part of walking with God. Today, people don't walk with God. Because immediately you are born again, God will solve all your problems immediately. It's not in the Bible. Check your Bible. Is there anybody in that your Bible who did not walk with God? Who did not pass through a time of trial? What happened to Joseph? Before he became prime minister. What happened to Moses? Before he got to where he got. What happened to Abraham? Before he got to where he got. What happened to Isaac? Before he got to where. Amen. Read their Bible. You must walk with God. Amen. He says, as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth. So as a Christian, you must learn to walk with God. Sometimes it may be good. Sometimes it may not be very good. Sometimes it may be black. Amen. But if God called you, He will give you a son. Hallelujah. At the appointed time, it will come. So that is the message of the tabernacle. Sonship. A son, when you have a child, is your child a son now? Your child, is he a son? Immediately you born the child, he becomes a son. The child has to crawl. Has to rise up and fall. Has to be a baby. Go to school. Do many things before he becomes a son in the house. Amen. So the Christianity of today has a problem. He said, immediately you are born again, you are a son. Amen. Hallelujah. So we must learn to walk with God. That means that you must know how God talks to you. You must learn to hear from God. You may make mistakes, but you will learn from the mistake in knowing the voice of God. Amen. So you say, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. Amen. And in walking with God, a relationship is built. So you must have a relationship with God. And if you are in this hall today and you don't have a relationship, it means you must do it today. Nobody is born a Christian. You start one day to be a Christian. Do you know anybody who just entered the world anyhow? You must be born. You know the day in which you are born. And Jesus said, you must be born again. You cannot say you are born again when you don't know the day you are born again. You have not been born again. He said, I'm just trying to be a Christian. Today, the trial will stop. Today, you'll be born again. Amen. And you will write it down. Today, I was born again. My journey with God began. Amen. It is the beginning of a journey. A journey must have two things. It must have a beginning, it must have an end. The beginning of the journey is to be born again. The end of the journey is to be a son. Not an evangelist. Not a preacher. Not an apostle. Or pastor. Pastor. Or be a deliverance minister. Ce n'est pas call. Amen. God has called me to be a son. Amen. And at the end of the day, God will say, was he a son? So God has called every one of us to be a son of God. Whether you're a man or a woman, you must be a son. And what does it mean to be a son? Romans chapter 8 verse 14 is very clear. As many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You must have the Spirit of God in you. You must have the Spirit of God in you. Because the Spirit of God will bring the blood of Jesus Christ and apply it upon the soul and bring life to your soul. Amen. So we're going to pray today. Anybody that is not sure, whoever you are, we'll pray. Some people are church workers, they're not born again, we'll pray for them. Some people, you have been here for so long, you are not sure, we'll pray for you. Amen. Because you must be sure. You must be sure that you are born again. Then you begin the journey with Christ. Amen. So that is sonship. I'm going to go through the numbers quickly, so that when we come back, we'll go a step higher. Now, the next number is the number 50. And it is the width of the tabernacle. And you can see 50 is half of 100. 50 can never make you 100. And there are two things that 50 means in the Bible. Two things. 50 speaks of Pentecost. The Pentecostal experience. The next one is Jubilee. Amen. Is there any Pentecostal in this group? You're a Pentecostal. You're not Pentecostal. Are you not a Pentecostal? In this whole room, no Pentecostal.
Hey.
Well, let me tell you where I stand. I'm a son of God. Amen. I don't want to. Why should I go to Pentecost when I can be a son of God? Amen. That's the problem of Pentecost. It's dwarf. Dwarf. Monte. You know, in Congo, you know in Congo, there's a lot of half-half.
Okay, the big
people. You know in Congo there's a lot of
pygmy.
This is Pentecost, a spiritual pygmy. Because he cannot be a son. 50 half. Amen. So the Pentecostal church has a problem. He can never make them a son. The Pentecostal experience, it will only bring you halfway. Because there are three experiences that the Bible says every Christian must go through. Read it for us, Deuteronomy 16:16. Deuteronomy 16:16 is the experience that every believer must go through. Deuteronomy 16:16.
Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 6.
Amen. There are three experiences. The first experience is being born again. Okay, that's what you call Passover. We'll talk more about it when we come back. Passover. Passover was the day the people of God came out of Egypt. Egypt is the same as sin. Egypt is the same as sin and worldliness. A life of sin. A life of darkness. It's Egypt. It's Egypt. And that's where the people of God came out from. So you have darkness or Egypt. Or the world. So the journey begins from darkness. And we come into light. And that experience is called Passover. Is the first one. Amen. Now, the second experience is called Pentecost. And it is celebrated after 50 days. He says, when you have celebrated the feast of Passover, you count 49 days. On the following day is the day of Pentecost. Paul was somewhere, he traveled, and he was saying, I'm struggling because I must be in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. All the Jews all over the world, they must come to Jerusalem at Passover, at Pentecost, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. So on the day of Pentecost, so there were many Jews that came from all over the world, is it not? And other people who had converted to become to worship Judaism, they came from different parts of the world. So Acts chapter 2 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered together in one place, the Holy Ghost came. So So the Feast of Pentecost is the next experience after being born again. And the two of them, where are they? Those two experiences, where are they? Yeah, who can tell us? Where are they? They are in the outer court. Amen. That means you are still in the reception. And I was telling the somebody, I went to England. I went to Buckingham Palace. I went to the Buckingham Palace, the house of the Queen. I went there. And I told my wife, I said, come. We stood in front of the gate of Buckingham Palace. Take us photo, we are now in Buckingham Palace. And I sent the photograph every year. Everybody say, I have been Buckingham Palace. Please tell me, where am I? I am outside the gate of Buckingham Palace. I didn't even enter inside the gate. I was outside. And that's not photograph. I am in Buckingham Palace. That is what many of us are doing. We are outside. So we have entered the house. Let me show you the house. See the house. This is the house. This is Christ. Amen. Say amen now. So when you are born again, you have just entered the reception. He said, come, viens. He said, no, I want to stay outside. Then some people will manage and then come to Pentecost. Say, I've arrived. The Pentecostal power is just... Okay, you don't know the song. Oh, you don't know many songs. You don't know many songs. So many people are running around Pentecost, they are outside. Amen. Baptisms, there are three of them. Three. That's what you find here. There are three of them. The first baptism is the baptism in water. And if there's anybody here who is not baptized, we will baptize you. Amen. We shall go to Congo, River Congo, and do the baptism. When you are born again, then you are baptized. Not the other way around. You are born again, you see the Passover. Then you come to the second one. Baptism. Now, the first baptism is the baptism in water. And this brother is a specialist. This other one too is a specialist. The specialist is baptized. Even though Paul said, I didn't baptize anybody apart from one or two or three people. It's only three people I can remember I baptized. But you are free to baptize as many as possible. Amen. Man baptizes you in water. Amen. The second baptism is the baptism in the Holy Ghost. When I come back, I will explain it. It is Jesus that baptizes you with the Holy Ghost. And when you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, the fullness of God comes to your spirit. You remember the three? You remember what I was telling brother Celeste? This is your soul. This is your body. And this is your spirit. Alright? This is the Spirit of God. This is the Son. This is the Father. You see, and the river flows from the Father to the Son. From the Son to the Holy Ghost. From the Holy Ghost into your spirit. Amen. And then from your spirit into your soul. The final destination is your body. So the last to be changed is the body. So if you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have the fullness of God in you, in your spirit. You have perfection in your spirit. You can be perfect like God. You can be perfect like God. Say it. If you are in the spirit. So if all of us are in the spirit, we will be perfect. As long as we are in the spirit. Don't you understand? Good. So if we are in the spirit, you will know the mind of God. For every situation, in every circumstance. If you are in the spirit. Amen. So Paul said, if you are in the spirit, also walk in the spirit. So remain under the influence of the spirit. Anything I do which is not motivated by the Spirit of God is in the flesh. Even though the Spirit of God may be in me, I can walk in the flesh. Isn't that so? Even though the Spirit of God is in me, I can walk in the flesh. Paul told the Galatians, how is it that you have begun in the Spirit and you are ending in the flesh? And that is the problem many of us have. So we are going to address it. By the time we finish, you will see, it will be very clear. We must learn to walk in the Spirit. And if we don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we will pray for some people and they will be baptized. Amen. So, Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Ghost. Then, the Spirit of God that is now in your spirit will baptize your soul into Christ. Amen. So, there must be a movement. And it is the movement of the soul. Amen. So the Bible says we are not of those who draw back to perdition. We are of those who press on to the saving of the soul. Because the Bible says the soul that sinneth, that soul shall die. It's not my leg that sinned though, it's my soul. That inflates my body. Let me show you a secret. The devil cannot make you to sin without your mind. We'll deal with that tomorrow. The devil cannot make you sin without your permission, without your mind. Amen. So, what God is doing is in three levels. God wants to save you as an individual. Because in the New Testament, I am the temple of God. This wall is not the temple of God. I am the temple of God. That's number one. Number two. My soul is the dwelling place of God. Because I'm made up of spirit, soul, and body. Is it not so? So that's the second level that God wants to deal with. And then in my soul, there are four natures in my soul. There's your mind, emotion, will, and desire. So in your soul, it is your mind. The mind is the chief part of the soul. Because the mind controls the soul. He said that those who are carnal, those who walk in the flesh, they are fleshly minded. And those who walk in the spirit, they are spiritually minded. So it is your mind that determines where you walk. There is even another deeper level. Your mind has four natures. Amen. Can you understand that? We are bringing it down. Your mind has four natures. Knowledge. Understanding. Knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and conscience. Okay, don't worry, you don't need to bother. By tomorrow we should be touching it. Now, these are the levels in which God wants to deal with you. By the way, that's where the devil is already working. Check yourself. The problems you have are in your mind. If you win the battle in the mind, you have won the battle. If you lose the battle in the mind, the battle is over. Amen. The Bible says that the war is in the mind. That war against the mind. The New Testament is to save the conscience. The New Testament is for the mind. He said, I will put my law where? In the mind. One young man came to Jesus. Jesus, I want to do the will of God. Tell me the greatest commandment. Jesus said very simple. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your understanding, with all your heart. This is the great commandment. Hallelujah. He said, upon this hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. So we are looking at how we can be practical Christians. How we can overcome on a daily basis. So that at the end of today, you have overcome. Amen. At the end of tomorrow, you have overcome the world. You have overcome sin. You have overcome the darkness. Amen. At the end of next tomorrow, you have also overcome. And the devil will be running from you. Amen. Because the devil is playing on our ignorance. The devil is not darkness. He is not darkness. God is light. Hallelujah. The devil is only using my mind to propagate darkness in the world. Because I am created in the image of God. I have the ability to create. Don't you understand? I have the ability to bring forth life or bring forth death. The darkness in the world was produced by man. Actually, man is the factory of darkness. And that's what the Bible calls repentance from dead works. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible talks about the loins of the mind. The mind brings forth life or death. So he's so sure that you will not be able to overcome. God said, no problem, I have a solution. I will go to the root of the problem. I will put my law in the inward parts. I will change them from within. Amen. That's why you must have the nature of God within. That's the likeness of God. So it's not just enough to say, I'm born again, I'm this one and that one. No. You must have the nature of God within you. And that is called the likeness of God. And the likeness of God is light, isn't it also? So it says, I desire truth in the inward part. Amen. So when truth is established in my mind, when there is truth in my mind, in my understanding, in my will, in my conscience, amen, darkness will have been judged from the root. And then God can come to dwell within me. Because see, God wants to dwell in me. That's the end result. He said, build me a tabernacle that I may dwell amongst them. And God only dwells between the cherubim. Don't you understand? God dwells in the light. So what God is saying automatically is that there will be light in you before he can come and dwell in you. Amen. So there's a nature I must acquire. It is the nature of the cherubims. Amen. Because God dwells between the cherubims. The cherubims, their face is fixed on God. They have a hunger for God. Do you have a hunger for God? Are you fixed on God? Hallelujah. David said, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Amen. That's where we're going, brethren. So, God is calling the people to go beyond Pentecost. Pentecost is not going to tell you about what is happening inside you. What will tell you that is the Feast of Tabernacles? Because that's where God begins to prepare your soul so that he can dwell in you. Do you know any man who built a house without living in it? Tell me any man that built a house, they say, I won't live in the house. It means there was a problem with the house. Amen. God is building a house. He said, I have chosen Zion as my dwelling place. I have chosen Zion as my house. There will I dwell. It means that light is coming into Zion. Don't you understand? God will bring light into your soul. Amen. So you must be ready to move forward beyond Pentecost. Hallelujah. Pentecost is just speaking in tongues, running around the whole of DRC. Healing and deliverance, disturbing the witches and the wizards. Amen. Let us get serious. Look inward. Hallelujah. Begin to deal with the emotions. Begin to deal with the desires. Begin to deal with our will and our mind. Amen. Begin to prepare ourselves. Like Esther. Amen. There is a very simple test to know Pentecost and to know the thing that is beyond Pentecost. Very simple test. Pentecost is consigned with the bride. Beyond Pentecost is concerned with the bridegroom. Amen. When Esther entered the house of the king, she met many brides. There are many people who wanted to be the bride of the king. her sister, same sister. My country is from Ethiopia. I am from Ethiopia. The gold I have seen in this place is not in my land. This is my opportunity to be rich. I have come to the house of the king. So her preoccupation was how to take all the gold and run away to her land. All the brides, they were uninterested in themselves. But there was one that was different. She called the chamberlain, which is the Holy Spirit. Tell me what the king likes. Hallelujah. Tell me what I will do to please the king. She didn't concern herself with herself. You're not. I said, do like this. When she entered, she was pleasant to the king. See, everything else you hear in Pentecost is me. Bless me. Supermarket. Amen. That is bride-based. It's not going to take you beyond that bit. But the message that is pointing you to Christ, that is the place to go. Amen. So that's why you must go beyond the Pentecostal experience. To begin to prepare your soul as a dwelling place. That is the call. We are called to be sons. Because he's bringing many sons to glory. Amen. Not only Jesus, there have been many sons. Amen. And the Pentecostal message has failed. And that's why you cannot be like Pentecost. Because if you become like Pentecost, if you become another church in Kinshasa, that means you have fallen short. Amen. By the way, the End Time Church is the newest denomination in town. End Time is the latest denomination in town. Because we have forgotten why God is calling us. He has called us to be a son. Amen. So we must press on to the saving of the soul. Amen. I think I'll close. When we come back, we will finish and then we will talk more about the outer court. And then hopefully tomorrow we'll talk about the holy place and most holy place. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, is there any question? On doubt. On doubt. 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 Anyone. Just choose one. Or marriage, or any of the things that we have said before we pray. Papa Robert has something.
talked about three baptism.
Yes.
Baptism.
Okay. Okay. The third baptism is the baptism into Christ. And it's the same thing as baptism into fire. It's the same thing he's saying. Because the Bible says that Christ baptizes you into, that the Spirit of God will baptize you into one body, into Christ. So, man baptizes you in water. Jesus baptizes you into the Holy Ghost. And then the Holy Ghost brings you into Christ, or into the body. And that experience, he said, is an experience of judgment to the flesh. Okay, and that is the fire. So I haven't explained it very well. I know I have not experienced it, explained it properly. So when we come back, I will explain it. So that it will be very clear. So that's where we are going to. So I will address it later. When we come back. Amen. Yes, he wants to make a comment on it.
Just to, I want to look at the three baptisms on the pattern Jesus Christ. Hello, while I just start over there, and we come to Kotani, the Tua, Kotani Christo, pull up there. John the baptized Jesus in water.
John the Baptist
as he finished with the water baptism, the Holy Spirit came on Jesus. The Holy Spirit led him into the fire in the wilderness. That is fire.
He was led of the Spirit into where he was tempted. That's a good example. Because the Spirit will lead you to walk against the flesh. And that itself, you will see, will be an experience of judgment to you, to your flesh. Amen. So, there was a question. Yes.
When you say that the man will come with gifts and not with goats, you want to know the difference between
dote and gift. Dote is covetousness.
Alobi, différence entre dote et cadeau. Dote is a local.
I have a long list. When you see a very nice shirt, you say, that shirt my son-in-law will buy for me.
Yo, on m'a dit chemise, on va se faire d'un mot. On dit chemise, on va faire la même façon de la
langue. Anything you like, you will put that in your list. You give it to the young man. Buy it for me. Then you marry my daughter. It's covetousness. Amen. It's not righteousness. The young man that has seen your daughter is very happy. In fact, he will do for you much more than what is in your list. Amen. My wife knows that I have a weakness. Anything she asks me to do, I will do it and do it two times. Amen. So let the man love the girl. And he will do everything in his power. And you will get more than dotes. Amen. Hallelujah. So that has been our experience. I'm not giving you theory. And the family is usually happy. Because when you pay dotes, many people in the family will not receive anything. They'll be fighting and quarreling over the list. Amen. But when it is done righteously, everybody is covered. And there'll be joy and happiness. Amen. Amen. Yes. It says, does the father have authority on the child? And he wants to answer.
He talked about the foundation.
Numbers three.
About the
redemption money.
So,
why it is wrong? Why Christians should not pay God? It's not because the money is too big. It is an agreement that you are entering with the devil to take care of your
marriage.
When you get born again, you are not be baptized in water. You are meeting the covenant with God. And you have to follow him all the way. Now, when you pay those, you make a covenant with the devil and the gods of the land. And they will take care of your marriage. That is why you shouldn't be doing it. If you check the history of your culture,
they
will discover that it is the devil that agreed with the forefathers to pay
tributes.
So it is not an issue of whether it is paid on your family. And a father,
alors papa,
should not be making a demand on his daughter. the daughter forced the father to give back to him.
Est-ce que moi, là, moi aussi, à force, qui va parler à ma bouche,
it is the work of a father to train his children.
Musala ya papa is ali ko edike ba.
So it is wrong to be asking for money because he trained his children.
Alors les hommes avaient tant va pas dire que c'est un bon mot pour y édiquer ma
naïve. If the father doesn't train his children, he is a failure.
So qui papa a édiqué ma naïve a échoué.
So the fact that a man found his daughter to marry.
Alors le fait que Moutou a trouvé moi la naïve pour pas là.
It's a sign that he has done a good job.
Et ali signe je la ça que papa on a sali mon salaire là.
So she will be very happy.
Et mon gars ça l'amène c'est bon.
Amen.
Amen.
To give her out.
Ati ape ati kaya kendi.
Because he is showing that he has done a good job to train up a daughter.
Ko eso la kisa ke asala mon salaire malade nous y a pour éduquer y a pour faire entraîner moi.
Like what I said. It is covetous now, they're asking for money.
Yango frère, on va qui? Kosen na mo bezala ko la mo ima bilule la.
Amen.
Amen. Now, in the Bible,
alors na Bible,
the child belongs to the father.
Mwana azaya papa.
Not to the uncle.
Azaya ba no kote.
Not to the community.
Na azaya communauté.
In the African tradition.
Na tradition na biso na Afrique.
The wife belongs to the village.
Moisi azaya boka ya village.
You say we have married our daughter.
Mama bito bali mona na biso.
You are our wife.
Oza moisi na biso.
Darkness.
Tenebre.
Do you understand?
Est-ce que vous comprenez?
It's darkness.
Eza molili.
In God.
Kati na nzambe.
A man.
Mobali.
And woman.
Na moisi.
1+1.
1+1.
Equal to 1.
Egal 1.
Are under God. Family has nothing to do with it. So this is something that the men must address. And where do you address it? It's in the mind. The African mind must go. The Congo mind must go. The Bakongo mind must go. Because in Igbo tribe,
parce que la tribu Igbo,
the wife belongs to the tribe.
Moi si, azali, ya tribu.
And the children belong to the community.
Pebana, bazali ya communauté.
So when you want to give her your daughter,
alors ce qu'on fait, ça m'en a
rien. They tell you only you cannot give your daughter out because it is our daughter. That is the darkness I'm talking about. But as a Christian, you are the head of the house. You know what? The head of the woman is a man. And the children are under the man. So when you don't cover your children, you have opened your family. And they will come in. They will tell you how to marry your wife. They will tell you the money to give your wife. They will tell you how to train your children. They will tell you how to give your daughter out. Bible says if a man does not take care of his household, that is worse than an infidel. So my daughters are 100% under me. Are you not the one struggling to train them? Have they come to help you to train them? When it is time to give them out, I will exercise my right in God. I will exercise my right in God. With the help of the brethren. With the counsel of the brethren. You understand? So the brethren are there. Of course, it's not saying you will not tell them. But you are not inviting them to come and sit in the middle. You will tell them what is happening, but they will not direct. The church will direct. The church will direct. They will be there. But as well as for information. Now, in the Bible, there are four scriptures about dot. The first one was because of rape.
A
young man called Het, the son of Shechem. Sorry, is it the other way around? Shechem, the son of Het, raped Dinah, the daughter of Jacob.
Jacob.
And because Dot was the tradition of the Hittites. In the tradition, if you go inside Congo, why you marry a wife by conquering? You conquer a people, you marry all the women there.
Okomona, ozo kendo bala mwasi na kadre ya conquête. Donc soko bali c'est comme si olongi ni balo bazali.
In Africa, wives are by conquest.
In Africa, tozo ka mwasi na nzela ya conquête.
You go and dance. After dancing, or you rest too. After you finish rest day, any girl you like, you carry and go home.
Okay, the time Monsieur Kozala was almost 4 times home.
Is that not how they marry?
You?
Is it by love?
Est-ce que tant que Bali Monsieur Lingon, Bali est pour la bonne.
So that is the tradition of our people.
Wana ezali tradition na biso ba.
Price.
Prix.
So she says, I will pay a price for her.
Ezali kwa kuzungu tazo ba na kuputa prix po na.
Jacob did not say you must pay dot for my daughter.
Jacob aloba kite ke mungo futa dot for na mona nangai.
That's first scripture.
One is a critique ali bosho.
The second scripture.
E critique ami bale.
It's about rape also.
What?
It's about rape.
Oui, esa concerna viol toujours.
Says if a young man lies with a young girl.
Eh, Biblia solo ba soke lenge mobali boko aladi ne lenge mosi.
When it is known.
Tangwe koyebana.
He will pay a fine.
Il faut aputa.
It's a fine.
Etumbu.
50 shekels of silver.
50 pièces de silver.
That is not what God said. That's not for marriage. It's for punishment. So the first two is punishment. The next one we see is because of murder. Saul hated David. Eh?
Murder?
Because of murder, killing somebody. Saul wanted to kill David.
Saul a linga kabo ma David.
Say this young man, he will soon be king. Let me kill him before.
Abi mo na mobali yoko koma wa kalate.
So you want to marry my daughter? Go and fight with the Philistines and bring 200 foreskins. Can you do it? You fight with 200 fresh young men to get their foreskin. So that he did it that he might cause David to be slain. Is there in the Bible? So it was the spirit of murder.
It
was darkness. Good. The next one you find, Jacob. He said, I love this girl. I don't mind, I will serve you for 7 years. The father did not say, this is the dowry, you pay me. He said, because I love her, this is my gift. I will just serve for her. That is not dot. So there is nowhere in your Bible where you said, if you want to marry, you must pay it down. The next scripture is one I told you about in Numbers 3. Redemption money is paid to the priest. And it is paid in recognition that somebody has a right over another person. So when you pay dot, it is a redemption money. So you are paying it to the spirit that rules the family. Because you give it to the head of the family. Who is a priest? In Africa. I am the first son. So I'm telling you from experience. When I enter my village, they start worshipping me. Do you know what I'm telling you? If I make mistake, I go to my village now. They start running around me. Why? Because I am the first son. I'm supposed to be the chief of the family. I'm supposed to be the chief of the village. I'm supposed to be the chief of 13 villages. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Why? Because I am first son of my father who was the first son. Of his father who was the first son. And he goes down. What is that? It's priesthood. And that is why the first sons have a problem. And the first daughters also have a problem. So you may not be a first daughter, but you may be acting like a first daughter. Because the first daughter is not supposed to marry and go outside. She must stay in the family and have children. I rule all the men in the family. Rule all the men, including her husband. It is a priesthood. And that is the darkness God said we must come out of. Amen. So this is a real and a walking. And when you become a Christian, you must cut it. You must fight it and cut it. So it's very, very clear. What
is that clear?
It may be difficult, but you can do it. If the church comes together, it will become easy. For one person, it will be very, very hard. And that's why God has raised the church as a city of refuge. So that anybody that comes into the church will have strength. But if the church is doing good, then everybody is weak. So that's why we must repent and go with God. When you go, you will see the strength. Amen. 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 The last scripture is that in Genesis 24, Rebecca went to the well. And met Eliezer. Eliezer started telling her about marriage. What did she do? He said, hey, I want to marry you. He said, no, come to my family. She went to her brother. Said, there is a man that is saying something, I don't know what he's saying. He said, tell him to come. Eliezer came. He said, say that thing you were saying to this guy. Now let me hear it. He said, my master sent me. He said, who is your master? He said, oh no, no, it's my near kindred. So if a young girl is in this fellowship and wants to marry, like he said, if somebody wants to marry her, she should talk to some of the older women who are here. There is something happening. Then you as a father, you should be close to your daughter. You should be your daughter's best friend. So even before they know, you yourself will know. I have four daughters. I'm their best friend. Once in a while, I bring the distance. I say, yes, what is happening? We go through the day. I say, what's going on? So I'm praying with them. Amen. I'm praying with them. So there cannot be any foolish boy. Because when I see the foolish boy, I will pray him away. Do you understand? When I see the foolish boy, there's one we saw recently. My wife said, we prayed him away. So you have authority on your knees. So when you're close to your children, they will open up to you. And then the mothers also in the church should be close to the young girls who will also open up to them.
Et puis, ba maman, bah, la carte d'église, bah, tu peux bah, chier, bah, pour l'église, et bon, guy, bah, à l'approche, n'a pas fille.
The same should happen with the young men, with the older men. Because Bible says in the multitude of counsel there is safety. So that's why the fellowship must be like a family. You understand? Where there are older men and older women giving counsel. Who are fathers and mothers? And there's no way any of these young brethren will go wrong because there is cancer. They'll say no, don't go there. They'll say yes. And secondly, if Obama is in this room and he makes a broadcast, when you are in your house, If you tune to channel 59, you will hear what Obama is saying. Very easy. So if God tells your wife, your daughter, this is a man, when you tune to the channel of God, you will hear that's a word. The boy will hear that's a word. The girl will hear the same word. The elders will hear the same word. The sisters will hear the same word. So by the time it is mentioned, say yes, we know it is God. Because what God says to one, he says to all. Amen. So it's very clear. There shouldn't be any confusion. Okay, when you have the right relationships and the others. Amen. Okay, so we are finished with doubt. Praise God. No more doubt.
Free the doubts.
Amen. Okay, so we can pray. All right, so let's pray and close this session. And then when we come back, we can get on. So Brian, I don't know. Are we coming back? Okay, so. Sorry. We are people like us are not fasting. You have to forgive us. You gave us a bad hint. You say what? No, I said at least pray and close the session. Yes. And then we can take a break, whether it's eating or not, then you will say, so go back to you. Go on. Let's pray and close the session.
Say
something. Go on.
You are the man.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Is there a backside of the board?
No.
Okay, the front side. All right. Amen. Well, we want us to be sure that all of us here are born again. Because if you are not born again, God cannot do any business with you. Amen. God made you. God made you. But not everything and everybody that God makes is a child of God. There is a difference between being made by God or created by God. It's different from being a child or a son of God. Because a dog was made by God. But God does not call the dog his son. Amen. Hallelujah. You can also own a dog. You feed the dog. You take care of the dog. But when the dog wants to marry, it will not ask you. Amen. Because the dog is not your son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we start the journey by becoming sons of God. Hallelujah. You know, we are coming into Congo. Plenty of trouble. There's plenty of trouble. Plenty of trouble. Now, if I go down the river and I find a way to swim across into Brazzaville and enter inside Brazzaville, am I in Brazzaville?
Est-ce que, if you are,
yes.
Est-ce que Esali qui n'a commis Brazzaville?
Am I in Brazzaville?
Est-ce que l'olenge, ce qu'on a joué commis à Brazzaville, commis Brazzaville?
No passport.
Sans passeport d'ailleurs.
No visa.
Sans visa.
I just swim across the river and cross to Brazzaville. If they catch me,
ce qui va
cagner. Pardon me.
Bah on s'alangani.
They put me in prison.
Bah qu'on tienga na prison.
Hallelujah. If you want to go to Brazzaville, it is very wide. There's a very wide, the country has a very wide boundary. But you must pass through the immigration. Or through the international airport. If you pass anywhere else and they catch you, you are in prison. Amen. That's how serious it is to be born again. You don't get born again by coming to church or by being baptized in water or taking Holy Communion. You get born again by receiving the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And like what I was saying, you must remember the day when that happened. So if you look in your mind this evening, and you cannot pinpoint the day you got born again, the truth is that you are not born again. Amen. Every man that gets born again knows the day he got born again. He can remember what happened. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the baby comes out of the womb, that is when you start counting the day he was born. Amen. If two women got pregnant today, amen. Oh, a woman got pregnant. This is what month? This is July. A woman got pregnant in July. And I one got pregnant in June. Which is older, the pregnancy? The one of June is older. Suppose the pregnancy of July gave birth first, and the one of June gave birth after that. The older child is the one that came out first. Hallelujah. In the Bible, one child brought forth his hand. the hand or leg, Phares. And took it back. Then the other one that came out first. Who is the first? The one that came out first. Just to emphasize that it is important that you know that you are born again. You are not born again. You've been coming to fellowship. You've been singing. Dancing. You hear the word of God. You enjoy it. But you are not born again. You can start this night. Amen. Hallelujah. You can start being a child of God this night. So let's bow our heads to pray. Hallelujah. Let's look at our house tonight. Think again on how you got born again. And begin to thank him for that day that you got born again. From that day you got born again, you can see how God changed your life. You can see how God has delivered you. You can see how God has helped you and worked with you. So think about that day that you got born again. I begin to thank him for it. And appreciate him for it. But if you cannot find any day that you cannot see any place in your heart for a day you got born again, you can stand up tonight and we'll pray together and you can get born again today so that God can begin to relate with you as his child. Hallelujah. You want to come out here so that we can pray together? That would be good. You are not born again, and you want to be born again today. You want to begin the journey of being a child of God today. You can come up front, come towards me, so that we can pray together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every man that gets born again responds to this call. Hallelujah. That we can start they walk with God on a proper foundation. Hallelujah. There's nobody. We'll go ahead and pray. Let's begin to look at the things that God has told us today. God is asking us to move forward. God wants us to relate with Him as His children. He wants to have the complete rule over our lives. Said the measure, the longest measure is 100. He wants us to be sons unto Him. Let us speak to the Lord tonight. Let us tell Him that we are willing to follow Him, to become sons unto Him. We are willing to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when they are baptized into Christ, they want to move on with Him. The things that hold us down, the traditions of men, the traditions of church, that is not according to God, we want to put them aside. We want to follow Him. Let's ask Him to come into our hearts tonight, to take His rightful place in our hearts tonight. Let's ask Him to give us understanding, that we might understand the things that God is saying to us, that He will say unto us, that the purpose of His gathering us together might be fulfilled. That God will look from heaven and say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That God may be pleased with us. Let us speak unto Him tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for Your word tonight. We thank You for opening the heavens unto us. The scripture says that Jacob saw a ladder that joined the heaven and the earth, and that angels were descending and ascending, going up and down. We receive this ladder tonight. We receive the connection between us and you tonight. We receive the ability to move into the heavens. To move to the mountains. To receive strength from you. Thank you, dear Lord, for this ladder of your word. The ladder of your spirit. Ladder of your word. We move in faith. We rise in faith. We move to a new level of fellowship with you from tonight. Lord, we say our lives will not be the same again. No longer shall we be weak. No longer shall the devil have his way in our lives. We move forward in you. We receive the spirit to overcome. To overcome the spirits in our families. To overcome the spirits of the Congo. To overcome the gods of the land. To overcome the darkness. We receive strength from you tonight to tread upon serpents and scorpions. The thing that they have said, it is not possible for us to do. We will do them. We will obey you. We will stand in righteousness. We receive strength from you tonight. We will be the light of the world. We will overcome the darkness. Any way it tries to express itself in our lives, we will overcome it. We overcome the darkness. Say, you made us overcomers. We will live as overcomers. Father, we thank you. Every word we have received tonight, the birds of the air will not be able to come and pick it up from our hearts. Let your word find roots in our souls. Let your word grow, dear Lord. Let it bring forth fruit 100-fold. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Be glorified, dear Lord. Be exalted, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.